We have the great Kevin Smith on the phone here. Kevin!
Whoa, did I hear somebody say standing vagina?
Yes, a standing vagina, which could be a penis.
Yes, it was a tranny reference that we all love.
Just trying to take the gay out of the experience. It's really fun, a standing vagina.
It's not a cock, of course. She's just a girl with a great clit.
Nora, that could be your next CD, dude.
Standing vagina.
Yes.
Oh, look at
the CD title. Is that in the same realm as the standing 69?
Oh, have you done that?
I have, with a belt. You're holding somebody upside down. I have tied a belt around my neck and the chick's legs. Or dude.
I've never thought I'd
stand up under my own girth. How am I supposed to pull off a standing 69?
Because that is a very physical move. There are some moves that you would love to do, but it's like you got to be a fucking bodybuilder to do them.
It's almost not gay.
Don't
if you
don't even
do
look comfortable. There's nothing like erotic about it. There's nothing sexy about it when you're working up a sweat like that. I'm a lay on the bed and you do things to me type of person. I couldn't pull off.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that looks amazing in movies, and it is hot. Because I've been able to do it for probably 3 seconds. When you take the girl and lift her up by her thighs and slam her against the wall, and you're holding her up, she's completely up, back against the wall, you're holding her thighs, and fucking like that. But your arms just give out.
That's doing like Michael Douglas, Glenn Close, in Fatal Attraction
right.
kind of thing.
Exactly. And then a few seconds later, you're like, I'm going to have to put you down, baby. My arms suck. Yeah.
I think it'd be fun. Like, I'm not gay, but I think it'd be fun to do a standing 69 with a twink, a real skinny blonde lad, just because it'd be funny to hold somebody upside down and nuzzle his balls with your chin and just feel silly.
Jim, I think you might be gay. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Jim, that's
the silly side of you.
There wasn't even a joke there, Jimmy.
Yeah,
you don't think it'd be funny, like, just
I don't. I don't even think you'd need a twink. I think I could pull that off.
Yeah. What? I'm not strong enough, so this is Norton. I'm not strong enough to lift another man.
Oh, so you need a little guy.
I think I have enough upper body strength to hold you aloft.
Really?
Oh, that could be fun.
It's not gay because it's Kevin Smith.
Tall, dude.
Yeah.
It's not gay if I'm complimenting his films.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, really fast, Bob from Hampton's wrecking one of my childhood memories of looking at the titty bar while we're at the light as little kids as we're driving home from Waiting River. The titty bar in Waiting River was the Crazy Clown. The owner got murdered there, and it burned down.
Nice.
Ooh.
There go my memories.
A nice reputable thing like a Long Island titty bar burning down?
Yeah.
Hmm. Never see that coming. Hey, Kevin, you having a poker tournament?
I just got finished like an hour ago. We were playing at the store.
Really?
Again.
Damn.
You were invoked because somebody took down a massive pot, and they were trying to figure out if that was the biggest one that was ever won. I think you were. It was after you were the biggest pot until this morning.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get and play. Get over there and play a few games with you, man. That is a blast.
I heard you bit my style, dude, and now you're having people from your website come and play.
Well, there's a couple of people from the website, some friends come over the house. I figured, you know, what a better way to have a good time than to play poker and take money from your listeners.
I agree.
It's amazing. It's a lot of fun.
I don't care about the taking the money part, but, like, it's so beat sitting at a table with a bunch of strangers in a casino where everybody's, like, wearing fucking sunglasses and telling you how you're not playing right because you won and they didn't and shit. When you're just sitting around
exactly.
talking to people that have mutual appreciation for what you do. You like what you do, they like what you do.
It's just amazing how you walk into the poker rooms and these guys are dressed like they're sponsored and they play the worst poker you've ever seen. They got the full tilt hats on and the shirts, sunglasses.
They look like Will Ferrell and Talladega Nights.
yeah.
Logos emblazoned across.
All the logos. They're wearing their iPod. Here's something. If you're wearing an iPod at a poker game in a casino because you've seen the pros do it, be like the pro and know when it's your turn to fucking bet. Or anything, because these people are not paying attention to the game. They're like listening to cool tunes and thinking they're cool doing it. They got the sunglasses on. Meanwhile, like the dealer's got to go, dude, it's your fucking bet. Do something. They want
to
be.
On, and I don't even turn it on. I just put the earphones on so people don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me. I'm listening to nothing.
The last thing you want
to
hear when you're playing poker. Where do you get your ideas from? I'm sorry.
Yeah, where do you get your ideas? Clerks ruled. Yeah.
There's a bit of that, man. There's a bit of, not so much rule, but I just get a lot of like, you know who you look like? And I'm like, yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Kevin Smith, obviously a huge celebrity, one of our celebrity friends. I want to bring up the Alan Alda incident with Jim Norton and get Kevin's feel on the whole thing. Oh, Jimmy was making it. Yeah, Anthony has made a friend in Kevin Smith. They are now friends.
Not like a friend. I don't consider.
But you
like,
go there and you play poker, and it's become
dude,
more than just
him
calling
up
our
I
show.
Bury a body. I'm there in a heartbeat.
All right, then that's a friend, Kevin.
Wow. The other night, Jimmy met.
Be available soon.
Jimmy met Alan Alda, and it was going very well. Maybe you could get some advice from Kevin.
I met him before.
Where it went wrong.
I met him before, and I got a photo with him. He's very difficult because he's a skittish guy, but he's nice. And I went to this rap party he was involved with, and I got him to sign the picture, and we were talking. But I was talking about MASH, and he loved the fact that I noticed certain things in MASH about language. And he's heard our show, and he kind of liked it. And I just got carried away.
Wait, how carried away did you get? Did you tell him how much you love the Four Seasons and Sweet Liberty?
No,
was it Sally's Hideaway?
I said, "Seems
away,
like old times." I said, "I heard that Ellen Burstyn's a cunt," and I elbowed him.
Wow!
That's a
spook him out, completely spook him out, and start talking about, start memorizing and repeating lines from Sweet Liberty, and watch his face drop.
I was just pretending I was Mako in MASH, and I was doing like the Mako's lines, and he was supposed to. I'm like, "You have done your job, Captain. I'll do mine." And then I looked at him like, "Waiting, go, Alan." Go.
That'll work.
MASH is too easy. You got to rock some shit from Betsy's Wedding. Like,
right,
just
right.
Real obscure Alda flicks.
But he went, like, obscure even for MASH, like, very distinct, a line, something that Alan actually wrote.
Yeah.
And he was thrilled to talk about that. But then I think Jim went a little too far and continued with the line of MASH questions and stuff. And he said he sensed.
He saw the relationship slipping away.
He didn't see anything really, like definite, but just sensed that moment had passed and he should just leave.
And I did before it got crazy, but I could see the moment where Alan's like, interesting guy, interesting douchebag.
So now, of course, Kevin, the question, if someone comes up to you, and obviously people are constantly ask you things about Clerks or many of the movies that you've done, but is there a question that you go like, oh, wow, you know, fuck, that's cool, I haven't heard that, and I'm kind of excited that he asked that, and I'll answer it, and then maybe the next question's kind of like, oh, he's just a hack with his questions.
No, the bummer question, they can ask any question they want. The bummer question to me will always be like, you're having a conversation with them, they're noticing stuff about what you've done, they've got a real insight into it, paid close attention, and you feel like, all right, on, this is cool, and then they rock you with, hey, so I've got a script.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That falls apart, dude. I will talk about the stuff I've done no end. People want to talk about the movies. That's fun, and that's cool, and it's flattering. But the moment they're like, I need your help, then it's like, oh, God, you crossed the line, dude. I don't do that. And it's also like, I didn't turn to anyone for help. I did it on my own. You do it on your own. You'll be a much happier person for it.
It's always awkward, though. Like, if I get, like, offered a script, like, can I send it to you? I'm like, I don't want to get sued by doing something later that reminds you of this. So I always say, don't send me anything unsolicited.
That's totally. I always go with the whole, like, you know, if for legal reasons I can't take it because something I write resembles something you write, then you could sue me. But now I've stopped lying about it, too. I mean, that's the truth. Really,
stop lying, just going, no.
No interest in reading somebody else's script.
Well, no, I actually am worried about that because people have gotten sued from that. I am worried, like, what if I do a joke or if I do something that reminds them of something that they sent and I never even read? I'm like, what if I get sued for that shit?
David Chase got sued for The Sopranos. Some guy from North Jersey said he gave David Chase a script. Chase got sued. I don't know how it ever settled, but I know a guy sued him for it.
It was the guy that wrote, I think it was Sleeping Beauty, because of that last boring fucking episode he passed off as a season finale.
That's your brilliance, Jeremy, because I was thinking as quick as I could and you came up with it.
I'm appreciating the last episode more in hindsight than I did the night I watched
better,
it.
The more distance you get from it. Like that night, I was just like, you're kidding me.
That's what I said. I said, you got to be shitting me.
It's kind of good.
And then you kind of look back and go, well, you know something.
Kevin, why do you think it's kind of good now?
Because I dig how he got to have his cake and eat it, too. That show was never about giving you exactly what you expected. He didn't do it. He gave himself an ending, or if he chose to go on and make a feature afterwards, he could do that too without without being like, shit, we got to raise this motherfucker from the grave. Because imagine, like, he did shoot Tony, and then, like, 3 years from now, the HBO or whatever studio tosses, like, piles of cash at him and says, does a Sopranos movie. And he's got two choices, go tell an earlier story or, you know, have fucking Silvio or Paulie Walnut standing over a fucking grave with the Necronomicon getting Tony out of the ground.
Hey, wait.
I think they're going to
There's another option. You could go with the dream thing. The whole thing was a dream.
I like the ending because I think the ending left you with so many options in your own head of what could you think could have happened. I liked it the next morning. That night I did the, you know, let me check my cable and then...
It's all well and good, but you know, most people that watch The Sopranos, they work really hard during the day. They don't want to have to do the thinking. They want it right there in front of them.
I have a lot of time.
Maybe you have a lot of time. But, you know, this guy's got two, three jobs to support a family. They don't want to do any extra thinking or anything that's tiring.
How did you want to bet? Did you want Tony shot?
I know.
And I did dig that last episode.
That was
more entertaining than that episode was just the next day watching the whole world split into two camps. Like, it was
freaking
brilliant.
Out.
Yeah. Or what a fucking jerk off.
Sucked ass.
Yeah, the 95% camp and the 5% camp.
How did you want it? Did you want him shot?
No, I didn't care, but I thought it was I understood it was clever shooting, and but I understood what it was. But it was also the murder of Phil Leotardo was anticlimactic. To me, the episode before was just better written and more interesting. I didn't need him shot. I'm not a retard. I didn't need them to go ta-da.
Yeah.
I still felt it was shitty.
It would have been a more compelling ending if they had ended with that second to last episode where he's lying in the bed with that fucking AK-47.
Yeah. That was
just
a good episode.
I wonder what the fuck happened with the mob war. But I got no complaints.
And it looked like he wanted to end it that way. Yep. But for some reason, maybe HBO got to him. Because then if there was so much filler in the final episode. All of a sudden, we care about AJ?
I agree with that. That's
half the episode was about AJ?
The whole last season was like so AJ-centric. They kept building it up where you thought, like, I think AJ is going to whack Tony at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I was thinking.
They raised a bunch of questions.
Fucking insane ward and shit like that. And it was just like, maybe this dude's going to snap and be like, kill his dad.
But
I'm glad that didn't happen. But, man, they did give AJ a lot of stuff this season.
Damn.
I wouldn't mind. My man, Artie Bucco, one of my favorite characters on the show.
Yeah. What happened to Artie?
I don't know. That was the other thing that kind of bugged me. Like, at the end, they're in this random fucking diner where, after 10 years, they're like, this place is the best onion rings in New Jersey. And they don't have their last meal at Artie Bucco's joint?
Yeah.
That's right. I thought it was just sloppy, and the terrorism angle was boring. I thought it got boring, and they went into unnecessary errors, like you said, for filler. And I liked AJ, but I thought that his climax in the series was the suicide attempt, and after that, they should have moved on. I don't want to hear that fucking Meadow got hired for somewhere, and she can't park a car. Who gives a shit? Who cares? I mean, I wouldn't have minded if he got shot, and then they do a movie, and he's a zombie. How great would that be?
Yeah, I think it shows the brilliance of David Chase with that trying to park the car, because we all, Anthony, I think, brought it up, and I was thinking the same thing at home. She can't park in parallel park, and you're looking at the clock going, park the fucking car. Yes. There's only three minutes
left.
Yeah. I think he did that on purpose.
Like, you weren't sitting there thinking who's going to get shot. That had me. I was sitting there going, something's got to fucking happen. I thought she was going to get clipped by a truck and killed. I don't know why.
It was good, and they showed a lot of suspense. They gave you a lot of suspense in that scene, but he was fucking with us because he knew everyone would have the same reaction at home. Park the fucking car.
But
this thing's over in 3 minutes.
Yeah, he built up a lot of tension and stuff. And the thing is, a lot of people, everyone went into the episode expecting either Tony dies or he doesn't die. There were two fucking choices that everybody was thinking that they had right there, that he was going to get killed or not get killed. He kind of fucked with everybody. No, I'm not giving you the two endings that you wanted.
I liked Uncle Junior's last words. That's nice. We ran the mob.
That was my favorite moment in the whole episode.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
You ran North Jersey. He's like, we did? And he goes, yeah,
we did.
That's nice.
We killed people. That's nice.
You know what? I agree with you guys. I kind of like the final episode more now.
It's more in hindsight. Yeah. You know, you look back and go, hey, that was not bad.
I think Journey comes out the big winner.
The show ended and they cut to black and we're here in Journey and all of a sudden they cut to black and everyone thinks the cable went out and then the credits roll. It was just like getting the most amazing blowjob in the world and then suddenly it stops with no climax whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I mean, it was a great blowjob. I wish I'd come, but it was a great blowjob.
Not only it stops because she sneezes and her fucking molars clamp down on your dick.
That's bad. It's nice to know that even Kevin Smith thought his cable went out, because I thought I was the only idiot.
The other line I loved.
I'm sorry, I don't like the fact that he fucking built a great suspense and all this with no climax. I could have done that. I understand it was well done. It just fucking annoyed me.
He took one of the greatest pop songs. The man took one of the greatest pop songs in history and made everyone analyze it to death the next 24 hours.
For nothing.
People going, what does it mean, don't stop believing? Like, let's take the lyrics apart and really
up and
think
down
about
the
it.
Boulevard.
And it just shows as Americans too, we're just a bunch of sheep, because starting the next day, a song that no one has cared about for the last 10 to 15 years was almost number one on the iTunes charts.
Climbing the charts.
All of a sudden we wanted to hear this song again.
Steve Perry debated whether or not he was going to give him the song?
Yeah, what an idiot. What is he doing?
What the fuck's he doing? What a dope.
He's not even the lead singer of Journey anymore.
Well, here's a little tidbit about Steve Perry. Ooh. He didn't want to give songs, and he doesn't give songs to anything that's kind of violent or immoral. There's a video game that I won't mention, though, but they wanted to use a Journey song in. And he actually said, no, I don't want my music used for something like that. Yet he was allowed it to be used in The Sopranos.
Maybe that's why no one got shot.
Oh,
Steve Perry didn't allow it.
He rolled over the other guy's head with a truck.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll let you use a song only if it cuts to black for 10 seconds.
Don't stop believing. Did you guys ever see that movie Monster with Charlize Theron where she played the female?
Oh, yeah.
They use Don't Stop Believing when she goes on a roller skating date with Christina Ricci in the movie. That's a movie about a broad who kills a bunch of people and not very sightly in the process.
I guess if the price is right, I guess it wasn't good enough for the video game.
I just didn't like
the video game, the Journey video game, the Atari video game.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
It's called Escape.
And the commercial was just like, the hardest rockers have their own game. And you're like, what?
Yeah, and you had to do some... Like the drummer had to do something, and
Journey spaceship. It was essentially a reverse Defender kind of game.
Yeah.
Instead of traveling from left to right, you were traveling from bottom to top.
Yeah, they had that at BCM when we went there.
They did. I really don't remember.
Yeah, correct. Kevin, you of course are in a blockbuster summer film.
Did you guys get to see it yet?
I said no. I'm going out tonight.
Are you going to the premiere thing tonight?
Well, there's two things. We got the one that everyone's invited to, and then I'm sure you're going to the one we wanted to get.
No, I'm going to the premiere of the movie.
Right.
The premiere.
Musical.
At Radio City. That's the one everyone's going to.
They shut down 51st Street to throw a diehard block party, and at the red carpet arrivals, the end of the red carpet arrivals, they got me up on stage introducing the cast and shit like that before the movie begins.
Cool. Kevin, that's what we were supposed to do.
I swear to God.
That's what we were supposed to do, and we turned him down.
How am I supposed to turn him down, sir? I'm in the movie.
Yeah, I know. See, you're in the movie.
Well, there's more to it. I mean, we got kind of frustrated because we wanted Bruce Willis on our show, and the publicist came up with all these dumb excuses that they come up with. Like he's in Paris and he doesn't want to get up early to do the show.
Hold on. Before we get into the movie and everything, E-Rock actually has the audio of the Escape Journey video game promo from 1983.
Oh, wow.
And it was Casey Kasem doing the voiceover?
Yeah.
All right, let's listen.
Beta 8 presents the world's first rock video game, Journey Escape. The concert's over. Now you must help each member of Journey escape to mobs of love-crazed groupies, shifty-eyed promoters.
I can get you the forest.
No photographers.
Please. Dead, no pitch.
Find your roadies and manager.
You'll be out 10 minutes.
And run for the escape vehicle and live to rock another day. Journey Escape for the Atari 2600 from Beta Age.
Oh, my.
That's awesome.
That sucks. Another day, dude.
Yeah.
That game is
shifty-eyed promoters.
I just described. I just thought it was like a fucking space shooting game.
No, that thing looked awful, too. Of course, it's on YouTube where everything is.
How did video go from that to Grand Theft Auto 3?
That's
amazing.
They ripped off Space Invaders and
Defender.
And Defender, yeah.
It was like a mutant mix of those two.
Yeah.
God damn, everything is on. If I want to look up my home movies, Just go to fucking YouTube. There's probably video of me
there's a short on YouTube called What Am I?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
You got to just don't, you know, obviously don't do it during the show, but, you know, go to YouTube, in the search box, just type in What Am I? It's a short about what happens when toys come to life. It's fucking genius.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
An
awesome.
Endorsement.
So, Kevin, what exactly are you doing on Fifth? What exactly are you doing? Because we never got good information on what this would have been or anything. You probably know much better than we would have.
Basically, it's, you know, like, you ever watch, like, the Oscars and shit when people show up and they got some dickhead sitting there interviewing going, hey, you're in this movie, and aren't you psyched about this? I'm that dickhead.
So you would have been. So you're going to be on the end of the red carpet.
Yeah.
That's where you guys would have been.
See, I just want, I was thinking it would have been more like, you know, the 50s or 40s or something. And now here comes the limousine.
Doing containing, like a Archer up there.
One of those old style things.
Here comes
Joan Crawford making her way down the red carpet. That's what your job is?
They don't expect that from me, because I don't know how to fill that kind of time. Except to be like, look at this motherfucker, 10 bad movies in a row.
Why is he still in Hollywood?
And then there's some kind of after party that we were supposed to go to, but now Roland's telling us we can't go. We are the fucking scourge, dude. The scourge. Yeah, people find out we're doing stuff. Like, we were supposed to have an interview on our show with, what's
Ben
his name?
Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley was supposed to be on our show.
Right.
Oscar winner Sir Ben Kingsley.
Right.
The second we said it on the air that and tomorrow or later today or whatever the fuck it was,
tomorrow,
Ben Kingsley is going to be on the show. We get a call that Ben Kingsley's schedule has changed. Like, we are just the worst.
And they use
like,
the
what film am I supposed to be on? Oh,
yeah. Fuck that.
I think he Googled our names because all of a sudden we get the he's going to have to reschedule.
No, we even heard that he was filming something in Canada and couldn't make it to our show. You can't lie like that to us and then have him turn up on to the Today Show in New York as we're watching it live.
On the same day he's supposed to be on your show.
Where he's two blocks away from us.
Not a big fan of the publicist. I would respect them so much more if they just called and go, look, he found out about your show and he just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah,
I'd have a lot
funny.
More respect.
The moment they do that, you're on air the next day going, what a pussy.
All right. We were saying that anyway, but it would kind of be funny to think, wow.
Kevin, why do you have to be so hurtful?
Words hurt.
I am so fucking annoyed right now.
Oh, Jimmy is really pissed at this whole thing. I'm going because I want to see the movie. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people there, so I figure I'll go.
What I'm annoyed at is nobody gives us any information. I don't know how this fucking information pipeline we have just breaks down every time.
Jimmy's mad.
I'm disgusted with the fucking system we have in place here. Nobody tells us anything. Well, there might be something. We don't know. They're going to drop you in by your cocks like Omar in Scarface, and you're going to make the announcement as you're being hung, and he's driving down fucking 51st Street. Kevin has all this information.
Yeah,
he would never give any of that information.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'll be good at it.
They made it sound a lot different to us, so I don't know where the translation's going.
If I say hello to you tonight, will you at least remember me? This is Norton.
Of course, dude. Come up on the stage, dude. I'll be like, here's Jimmy Norton. He's about to tell you about defecating on a hooker's chest.
Yeah, that's exactly why Alan Alda ran. Desperate little plea. Will you remember me?
Oh, Kevin, I forgot to introduce. We got Matt Roloff from
fucking Alan Alda here, dude.
What's that?
That would have been good. Fuck.
Oh, that's right.
I just want to introduce Kevin Smith to.
Do you know who Matt Roloff is?
Matt Roloff. Little People,
no.
Big World.
Hey.
Yeah, he's on that show, Little People.
How you doing,
World.
Kevin?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. You watch my show?
What show is it?
Little People, Big World.
That's the midget show.
I've seen a billboard for it in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was actually
pretty cool seeing a billboard of
a
midget.
Billboard. You have been on a billboard.
Was it a billboard or was it just a fucking placemat they stuck on top of something?
Actual size.
So
these little things.
So Live Free or Die Hard, Kevin. What are you playing?
Yeah, I saw the trailer and online and about a month ago, and I'm watching it. Go, holy shit, Kevin's in this. How did that happen?
I play the fat dude in the movie who doesn't get to shoot a gun. The only person who doesn't get to shoot a gun.
Oh, are you like the brainiac guy?
Dude, I am the token fat guy.
Token fat
guy. I am Harry Knowles with a better haircut in the movie.
Oh.
Basically, I'm the step and fetch it of the film. You know, I'm a dude that they come to me in like the beginning of the third act. I give them a bunch of information about the bad guy that they didn't know about heretofore. It's a pretty cool part, man. It's like 10, 12 minutes long in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's one of those parts where they talk about you in the movie and then finally they meet you.
Yeah.
And the whole time, anybody going in, like, hearing about the talk about Warlock and like, we got to get to Warlock, we got to talk to Warlock, and then you expect a very cool cameo, and then it's like, this fucking guy? You know, they're going to be very disappointed. Why did they get that kid Jonah Hill from Knocked Up? They got this fucking guy? Silent Bob, he can't act.
It must be cool, though. I mean,
it was
fucking Die Hard movie,
yeah,
dude.
I kind of like, who doesn't love Die Hard, dude? And I got to get threatened by John McClane and shit.
Yeah. Love the any time any of them are on, I turn it on. But that first one is just, I think, one of the most underrated characters ever in a movie that is hysterical is fucking Ellis. He is
great. Totally.
Hey, Speckensy
like,
talk?
Hans,
yeah,
Booby.
Yeah. Hans Booby. He's just such a corporate fucking 80s tool. Hans Booby. He's snorting coke and the boss walks
in.
I'm
your white knight.
The face he makes when he goes, come on, John. These guys aren't playing games. And he makes the face like, yeah, don't worry, I got all this under control.
He's not even in the room to see the face he's making.
No.
He's doing it over like a walkie-talkie. And he really puts the gusto into the performance. And the only one seeing it is Hans Gruber.
It's Hans as he makes the face. Yeah, I got this guy. Don't worry about it, Hans. Great movie.
Hey, you mentioned Knocked Up there, Kevin. Did you like it?
I did. I thought it was really cute. I love that dude, Seth Rogen. I can watch that dude do anything. I would get into a fucking standing 69 with that dude in a heartbeat.
Wow, there you have it, Hollywood.
Just keep coming back to that.
I was frustrated, and one thing that took me out of the movie was all those sex scenes where she kept her top on. For some reason, that really bothered me.
I hate that.
That didn't take me out of it because that's how I have sex. I never take my clothes off.
Oh, well. But, Judah,
that's one of the things I hate the most in movies. You'll see a dude fucking a chick. He's got his shirt off, and she's still got her bra on. I'm like, are you a fucking idiot, you know? What are you doing?
It takes you out of the movie, and she had
I hate that.
She had a nice set, but I guess she's it's above her to take her top off or something.
That's because you dudes are all thin, and you fucking, I'm sure, like, you know, I watch movies, but
I hate
them.
Have you seen Judah?
Yeah,
wait a second. Have you seen Judah? Yeah, slow down.
One of the first things that happens in a sex scene in a movie is that, like, a chick immediately helps the dude strip his shirt off. That has never happened to me. I would never let it happen. I would run out of the room. I would totally break the moment. I staple my shirt to my fucking pants so the shirt don't come.
Are you embarrassed?
So I'm always happy I'm watching a sex scene in a movie and people are keeping their clothes on because I'm like, that's how we roll in the Smith House.
Have you thought about sit-ups?
I have, but I don't quite understand.
Right, maybe I asked the wrong person. That really bothered me.
I can't wait to see the movie tonight now.
Yeah.
I'm just really psyched.
You can't miss me. I'm going to be on that little stage at the end of the red carpet.
Oh, I'm sure they'll usher me away from anything or any body of importance. So
we're not allowed to be...
I'm going to be like, hey, there's famous radio broadcasters. We'll be in it.
There you go. That's what I'll do. At this point, we're not allowed to be near anything that's red. So I don't think you'll be seeing Anthony.
Yeah, I'll try.
We get invited.
Let me say hi.
If I check the guest list, I'll find out. The easiest way to find out whether you guys are going to get in or not is to see whether or not Alan Alda's on the guest list.
Yeah.
Because if he is, they're going to cock block fucking Jimmy.
We get invited to these things, stupid us thinking maybe we'll walk a red carpet or something. They usher us into some weird door the janitors use. And
get in over here. Don't muss up the carpet.
Robert De Niro. He's like, no, just go over there, right over there.
Yeah.
Lorraine Bracco to pick up the
come on. No, over there. Over there.
You guys are going to walk in a room and get whacked.
We got kicked off of a piece of wood once in front of Spago during the Oscars in L.A.
Explain, like, you know, the station we were working for at the time, like, we're flying you out to Hollywood for the Oscars. You're going to be talking to all the big stars.
And we're thinking, wow, this is cool. It's my first radio gig. Dude, I've been doing radio for a week. I swear, literally a week. And I'm like, this is so cool. They're flying us out for the Oscars. I was just a construction worker. So they fly us out there. And then we realize it's they set a broadcast booth up with 20 other radio stations
at the Comedy Store.
At the Comedy Store.
It had nothing to do with the Oscars. Oscars. It was like
nothing.
All Comedy Store.
It was all C-list celebrities. That
C-list. It was Greg Brady was the big like.
That was the
big star.
That was the big get.
That was the big get. Was Greg Brady.
And we're going to fly you guys Simpson. Out to California, and you were going to be in the same town as the Oscars.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was. So after the Oscars, which we watched at the hotel. We decided we were going to stand at Spago and watch these celebrities arrive.
Remember, so we're not even invited to the Oscars. They fly us out for this whole crappy thing. It's a bunch of radio stations at the Comedy Store. We're one of many stations from across America. And then we decide, all right, let's make the best of it. So we watch. It was the year David Letterman hosted. And Ant and I are just getting hammered and with a bunch of other radio people. We're just making just obnoxious jokes. And the room, we're killing the room. We're killing them. And then, but remember, some of the radio shows were so pissed off because they had their notepads. They're
and
trying to
tape
get
recorders. They put their tape recorders by the speaker of this big TV in the lobby of the hotel.
Yeah,
and we're making jokes so loud, and we're so drunk and obnoxious that their tape recorders are just picking us up babbling.
We're getting huge laughs. But these were the responsible radio shows that were going to do a whole wrap up the next morning on their show.
People suck.
And all of a sudden they're huffing and puffing. One show attempted to quiet us by buying us beer, which just made it even worse.
Yeah.
And then they finally left, and all the shows that just suck, they left the lounge, and we finally had a go at it. But then we went to Spago.
We go, okay, they all go to Spago. Let's go to Spago and see if we could do some star spotting. So there was like this sawhorse kind of thing. It was blocking the street. So we figured if we stand up on that, we'll get a better view because there were other people there waiting and watching. And
it got us to the top of the bleachers, but we had to hang on to the top of the bleachers type of thing, like little kids looking at a baseball game from 1957.
We kind of got a view until, like, the security and police came over and told us to get off of the piece of wood.
We weren't even good enough for the piece of wood.
We got kicked off. It wasn't like getting kicked out of Spago. We got kicked off a piece of wood in front of Spago.
Right. That good. That
we weren't allowed.
Allowed us to hoist ourselves up and use our biceps to kind of maybe get a glimpse of some old freaking actress.
Nothing. And that's been the story of our lives the entire time up until right now as far as, like, Hollywood goes. We're just not accepted, not even fake, can't even fake it for one night of glamour.
Mm-hmm.
They won't allow us in. It's just the way it is.
I think it's pretty funny, though, that like somebody's cure for like how do we get these raucous assholes to shut up is to pour beer down their throat.
Beer.
More beer.
More beer doesn't work.
Oh, they're young. Can you guys just shut up? We're trying to get audio for our show tomorrow.
We got tape recorders running in this room. Fuck off, cunt.
That's why we don't get along with radio people either. We're just idiots all around.
Yeah, maybe it's our fault. Why don't we just fess up to it at one point?
Maybe it is.
Well, Kevin, much success on the movie. What are you working on? Anything yourself or you're just popping yourself in other people's?
Until the fall or something like that. Fall or winter, but I'm pretty sure we're going to go in the fall with this movie.
All right.
You're writing shit?
Porno.
Not porno. That'll be nice. The shirt. Everyone's wearing a shirt.
Everyone's going to be wearing clothes. Oversized clothes.
I know you got to leave, but there's you loved Grindhouse, right?
I loved it, yeah.
Why the fuck didn't that take off? We loved it, too.
Dude, and I would have been farm on that movie. Somebody tells me, like, I know people are like, well, it was too expensive. You tell me Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino doing fucking double feature genre film for 60, 70 million bucks. I'm like, I'll cut that check in a heartbeat. All day long.
I think people are stupid. People
are
stupid.
All the movies that I fucking love, like, don't make a zillion bucks. Like, this year I loved Black Snake Moan. I loved Hot Fuzz. Mm-hmm. I loved Grindhouse.
Hold on. You liked Black Snake Moan?
Why, you saw that?
I love that movie.
I hated that movie. I wanted to fucking knock Sam Jackson's teeth out and then get the hour and a half back in my life.
Really?
I could have watched another hour and a half of that.
Oh, Christina Ricci, I wanted to fucking eat her ass through the whole movie.
Well, that's good.
Me and my girlfriend watched that in a hotel. And I just thought it was so racially predictable, the white people helping the black people helping the dirty white girl who just needs black cock, and the compassion of the black people. Awful. I'm telling you,
this sounds like a good movie.
I wouldn't see it.
Is that taken verbatim from the description of the movie on IMDb?
I'm not saying she's a great actress. She was good. He was good. There were moments in the film that I did like his relationship with his ex-wife. But I thought that whole thing where he chained her had a whole slavery undertow to it, but he was chaining her for good reasons. The trailers were deceptive. I just found the whole thing to be this fucking phony feel-good movie.
Wow.
That was a feel. I wouldn't even see it. I couldn't get through the trailers. I was upset watching the trailer. I'm like, this is horrendous. And I wouldn't see it for everything you just said.
Well, it did look pretty hot. Well,
Kevin, what did you like about it? I just thought that it was racially very pandering and very predictable on how Hollywood would view race.
Look, dude, not every movie can be fucking MASH, all right? The TV show. No. I don't know, dude. I dug it. I totally dig this movie. I'd buy her character. I'd buy his character.
He was a blues singer who couldn't sing.
You know, I'm going to cure you of your wicked ways by chaining you to a radiator.
That could be cool too, but then he's a
movie that actually wound up being about something. It's about a platonic love affair between two people who don't fuck.
Then he starts singing. He's a blues singer, and that's probably why Jackson signed on for this. I think it was an independent. He probably thought he'd get the chance to play a blues artist or whatever, and he can't sing. It was like watching Sam Jackson just sing. It was awful. And he's trying to sing, and they're trying to have like these moments that are intense, and like he's supposed to get some meaning out of it. And she's looking at him like, "Wow, he's singing." And I'm like, "He can't sing. This is terrible."
It was supposed to be. I mean, his warbling was what it was, but I think it was more supposed to be that he was a master axeman, like he was fantastic on the guitar.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right.
He was a master axeman. He should have fucking cut that film in half.
Well, Kevin, it's always a pleasure. You know that.
Yeah.
You got to come in and see us.
Next time I'm here, I'm in the studio with you guys, though. I hate doing the phone thing.
Yeah, definitely got to get in.
We should plan something.
Just come broadcast from the secret stash during the poker game, so I don't have to travel.
That would be nice, man.
Kevin, we got to plan something different when you come in next time.
Like what?
I don't know. I just something.
Perhaps a standing 69.
Standing 69 is for everybody.
I will bring the oversized leather belt. It will happen.
Bring the belt. You bring good radio for us, and I don't know.
We don't need anything different, dude. I just love to come in, yep, sit down, and bullshit.
Hang
all
out.
Do the whole show shirtless.
Yeah.
You guys have too many fucking web cameras in that room. I don't know if you ever noticed. I come in with like four layers on because there's not a good angle in that room.
Hey, Kevin, the first
time I was in that room, people on the website were like, "Oh, there's pictures of you and Opie and Anthony." I'm like, "Good God, how many more chins can they shoot on?"
Kevin's going to bring his director of photography in next time to fool around with the Pal Talk cameras.
I'm just going to do the power suck and keep it sucked in for four hours straight.
Our new studio is going to have 9 webcams.
Great.
Is it in the same place?
Yeah, they're ripping it apart as we speak to you here. Not around us. I mean, we're somewhere else.
Yeah, we're broadcasting from our CBS station.
For FM or for XM?
XM. You know that whole area?
Is it the same building I always go to?
Yeah, they're gutting it, and they're going to build the studio way out almost to where our office is, and it's going to be all glass walled and everything, and we're going to have like bleachers for studio audience.
It's high time, dude, because I've been in that room a few times. It's like it's just minutely larger than the shitter.
Yeah, it's not big enough to have like shit going on in there. So
I got in there, I'm like, I think these dudes they rank better than this, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, why don't you tell XM, because we've been telling them that for 3 years. We were supposed to be in that studio temporarily. 3 years later, they're finally doing the right thing.
Yeah, let me know when you're playing cards. I would be honored again to come over and give you some
money.
I'm going
to be back in town August 1st, and we're having a game then. And then August 3rd, we're doing a tourney. There's like 30 or 40 people playing.
Oh, taking your birthday off, are you?
You guys air through the summer, right? You guys don't take a vacation.
Yes.
No, we just took a vacation. 30 days. Might have read about it.
I'd heard a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yeah.
I don't understand, though, but you were off on one place but on in the other.
Yeah. And it's like bizarro world. Yeah, we still had to come in at 6, to be on the air at 6, but we were done by 9.
Kevin, speaking of that, I got to ask you something, because you're a big-time Hollywood director. Did you see the footage of us walking down the sidewalk on our cell phones?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, they played it over and over again on CNN. And I wanted to ask you if our acting was believable because we took fake phone calls.
We did the fake phone call. When you're in trouble and you're walking down the sidewalk with news cameras in your face, we figured the best thing to do, and they're asking you questions you can't answer, is to take out your cell phone, put it to your ear, and start talking, which we dubbed the fake phone call. I started it, and then Opie ripped me off.
I didn't know. You were behind me.
Oh, stop it.
Look at the freaking video. I don't have eyes in the back of my head.
Thinking? They're like, are these two assholes talking to each other on their cell phone?
Yeah, we should have just called each other. Wait a minute. I'm getting a call from Jim.
So it's not like they're each calling their separate agents.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was hoping
we're stupid.
I was hoping you saw that to see if maybe we got a little acting chops to us, you know, that could lead to something.
If you need two idiots on the phone. We're available.
I do. I need some background work in the next picture. Anytime I need something on the phone, I'm going to call you guys.
I'm in.
You should do that just for the hell of it. I'll stand on a street corner for 2 seconds in any Kevin Smith film.
This is why I can say they don't have acting chops. Anthony was a little better, but Oak did this the telltale thing. He made it look like he was going for his phone.
Oh, that's right.
Which would be vibrating or ringing, but if it's vibrating, he fished into both pockets, like, but you would know where it's vibrating because you'd feel it, like left leg. You wouldn't reach into the right pocket.
He made an annoyed, oh, my phone's ringing face. And took it out of his pocket and got on the phone.
After I picked the wrong pocket.
Yeah. We picked apart his acting in this.
Alfred the butler was more believable on the phone.
It is. Don't blow up my spot, man. I might have a shot.
It was in both pockets. It was like, ah.
You're cock blocking him, man.
Yeah, man.
You know
what's
with your hands.
He's trying to get a part here.
Yeah.
He's dissing you is not even good enough for porno actor, sir.
Yeah, I know. I know, Kevin. I know what my role is. Trust me.
Kevin, maybe I'll see you tonight. I got a script I want to give you.
That's awesome, dude. I
bet. I heard.
Kevin, let me correct Anthony. I might go too. You'll see him, but you won't get near him.
Yeah.
Because the roped off area.
I'll be tackled.
You won't be allowed in.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, the great
make
Kevin
the move,
Smith.
Dude. Make the move, though. If you see me up on that stage, make the move over.
I'll give it a whirl, man. I'll sprint for you with a backpack on, dressed like Al Qaeda. It'll be wonderful.
6 inches, and I'm going to have one of the security guards put a hurt on
him. Yeah, that would be great. Get
just
this
so we
fucking guy.
To talk about on the phone. Why
Kevin's just pointing at me laughing.
That guy.
As I'm getting the shit beat out of me, Kevin's laughing at me. That guy, that would be
who
funny.
Is that guy? He looks like a terrorist. Take him out.
You get him out of here.
The guy that jumped on the Pope.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Don't let him anywhere near Bruce Willis. I hear Ben Kingsley hates him.
He threatened Ben Kingsley.
Well, let's let Kevin get going.
Maybe we'll see it tonight.
He's got a big night tonight.
Yeah, come on out, man. It's going to be fun. It's a good movie. I've seen the movie now twice.
Yeah.
Excellent flick.
Nice. Action-packed.
Tons of
you got a reputation.
Not
that,
like,
you can't just crap
either.
It.
Like, it's real people hitting each other.
All right. Cool.
All right. Live Free or Die Hard.
See you tonight, man.
I'll see you guys.
And then opening Friday.
Bye.
No, next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday? Early. I thought it was Friday wide.
They're going early.
No, the bus ads say Yippee-ki-yay, muh, and then John 626.
Ah.
June 26th.
Ah. Meaning the fucker.
They I left thought that was... the other fucker part, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for checking in. Take it easy, man.
All right, Kevin Smith.